welcome to the Broncos Podcast with Troy Rink. I am your host, Troy Rink, from the Denver Post here at SoFi Stadium after just an absolute crushing loss by the Denver Broncos, led 21-10 in the first half. Offense was absolutely humming. Three touchdowns on their first three drives. We haven't seen that all year. We hadn't seen two touchdowns on their first two drives, let alone three, and it wasn't enough. They squandered an 11-point lead. This game symbolized by a weird, obscure rule in the end. Sean Payton got greedy. Jim Harbaugh got nerdy. And now the Broncos still need one more win. They can get help this weekend if Chargers, Bengals, Dolphins, if the Colts, Bengals, and Dolphins all lose. But Broncos control their own destiny with one more win with two to go at Cincinnati. Not going to be easy, obviously. And certainly the Chiefs in the finale. Chiefs may not be playing for anything there, but, I mean, let's keep it real here. The Chiefs have beaten the Broncos 17 of the last 18 times. That's not a game you want to have to win if the Chiefs are still playing all their players. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't. They should have beaten them in Kansas City. But for now, the Broncos sit at 9-6. Their four-game win streak has gone by the wayside in one of the most crushing ways possible, given how well they played in the first half until the last – really minute of the first half, and then it all just kind of dissolved. Questionable play calling, deserting the run, and they kind of got the outcome, unfortunately, they deserve. So Broncos country, I would say hang in there, but I would not blame you if it felt like against the Chargers, 80,000 volts of electricity into your skin. Like, what in the world just happened? A free kick? What? We'll get to all of it after the break. Have you been injured in a car wreck or hurt at work? What are you waiting for? Give my friends at Hoggett Injury Law a call. Their motto, with us, it's personal. That's because it is. I've known Darby Hoggett forever. We traveled the country watching our boys play baseball. I became his good friend. Many of his clients become his good friend. You don't even have to pay Darby up front. How good does that sound? In case, if it goes as planned, Darby will be the one writing checks to you. Again, if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt at work, give Darby's team a call. It's 1-833-H-O-G-G-A-T-T. That's 1-833-HOGGETT. Or visit the website at hoggettlaw.com. BetOnline continues to be the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch the games as they happen. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, the NBA, college hoops, NHL, UFC, you name it. Head to BetOnline today and don't forget to use the promo code. That's Believe, B-L-E-A-V, B-L-E-A-V, for your welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. The game starts here. Welcome back to the Broncos Pod with Troy Rink. I am your host, Troy Rink, from the Denver Post. It is still raw. Here we are at SoFi Stadium, and, you know, an hour or so, 2 hours or so after the Broncos just absolutely the debilitating 34-27 loss to the Chargers. How did it happen? What happened? Well, let's start at the beginning. The Broncos offense absolutely humming. Sean Payton on his play sheet writes down, run it. On the top of his play sheet, 3 exclamation points. And he seems to take his own advice. In football parlance, this was the equivalent of keep it simple, stupid. The Broncos' ability to run and not turn it over was going to be the secret to their success. And on that first drive, it was, you know, a little bit of a revelation. Audric Estime was getting a bunch of carries. You look up, and there is Javonte Williams looking better. And then Blake Watson. And then, obviously, Bo Nix. But four different ball carriers. And they're motoring down the field. You're like, they got something here. And it continued to hum. I mean, the Broncos' first half of offense, they were, 236 yards, 16 first downs, and then things got weird. They get up. They're up 21-10 with less than a minute left in the first half. And that's when it all kind of went sideways for the Broncos. And some people say, you know, one play never loses a game, and it doesn't. But being here live in the stadium, in the weird nature of the free kick, it did change things. It was just such an odd play, and it just completely shoved momentum to the Chargers that, frankly, they didn't deserve. The Broncos were just absolutely handing it to them, and then all of a sudden they weren't. So what happened? Well, listen, Broncos had everything at stake. They've got the winning season. That broke a 7-year streak of losing seasons. They needed one win tonight against the Chargers to clinch their first playoff berth since Super Bowl 50, the 2015 season. And it's right in front of them, 21-10. You got 41 seconds left in the first half after the Chris Abrams drain interception. The rookie, first pick of his career, picks off Justin Herbert. Everything is tilting in the Broncos' direction. And then suddenly it's not. The Broncos got aggressive here. Now, here's for the situation. The Broncos get the ball back. They have it at their own 18-yard line, 41 seconds left. They have a chance now to kind of force the Chargers' hand. On first down, okay, you want to stay aggressive, that's fine. And you throw it's a pass for minus 3 yards. The Chargers aren't making really an attempt to stop the clock. That's the point then where maybe you slow everything down. Once they didn't stop it, take as much time off the clock and see if you can just pretty much soak the clock out at that point. Maybe even where you punt it out of bounds to end the half so there's not even a return possible, right? Well, that's not what happened. As you all know that watch the game, Broncos country, and I sympathize with you. It's been a long 8 years. But the next – so the minus three there, that math tells me for me, like, hey, let's just try to go into the half and get out of here. Sean Payton, go to the half, go to the bathroom, get your banana, get a Gatorade, get a water, and just call it good. Nope. They try a pass on second down, and it's incomplete. Now on third down, they run the clock, and the Chargers call timeout. And if you want to say the Chargers were going to call timeout every time, maybe they were, maybe. But they weren't having that posture early in the sequence. It became a very messy botched sequence by the Broncos, and they end up having to punt. Well, they punt, and even then they could save themselves. And so while Payton, I think, deserves blame for getting a little too greedy and Harbaugh getting a little too nerdy, this is not a conversation of Tre'Mont Smith, who's been arguably their best special teams player all year, doesn't make a bad decision. He runs into Darius Davis, the returner. So Dixon kicks it, a 46-yard punt to the 38-yard line, and Tre'Mont Smith, right as he's trying to fair catch it, runs into it. Big deal. Who cares, right? Well, it's a 15-yard penalty. That's why it's a big deal. And because it's this fair catch, it's this kind of little-known rule that, you know, Sean Payton insists he knows, and that, parking to Parker Gabriel, my colleague from the Post, they practice this free kick in 2023 in OTA. So I have no doubt Payton knows it, but I definitely didn't think he was thinking it was going to be exploited against him. But here we are, Jim Harbaugh. Not only does he know this obscure rule, he said afterward it's his favorite rule in football, that he's wanted to try this. Like, this is his moment, the aha moment. I'm going to get to do something no one has ever done. Well, they've done it, but it's been 48 years, folks. So they get a free kick with a 15-yard penalty. And this free kick is weird. And I don't know if you remember, like, the drop kick by Doug Flutie with the Patriots like 25 years ago. It's this, again, another skewed rule. But this rule is he lines up with no rush. It looks like a kickoff, and he's going to kick a field goal. So like a kickoff, he's kicking a field goal. It's a 57-yarder. And normally it's like, I don't give that much shot. But as a kick with no rush, no worry about the trajectory, they can't block it. He was in great position. And if you're saying to yourself, Troy, I've never seen this before. This is crazy. Well, unless you were watching the Chargers game in 1976 involving Ray Worthing, you didn't see it. That's the last time it's happened. According to the quick history I've seen, it's been tried like 9 times since and failed. Tonight it did not. And you're thinking, how in the hell did this just happen? So Cameron Dicker, the kicker, and that's what Harbaugh is saying. Let's talk about this play by Cameron Dicker. He was just fired up about it because he's like, it's my favorite rule. It changed momentum. This was our moment. This was our big chance. And they convert it 21-13. So they go into the locker room feeling like they've just snuck away with 3 points. They just basically stole 3 points. They're feeling way better about themselves than they should. So not only are they cut the deficit to 21-13, but they feel like they kind of got one over on the Broncos. So the Broncos then come back out and they drive and they get a field goal, but it's just the game felt entirely differently at that point. I was like sitting there, and it's like, you know, when at lunch you have that extra piece of pizza, or happy hour you have the third drink and you don't feel right and you're like, man, I wish I hadn't done that. That's how the second half began to unfold for the Broncos. Just uncomfortable. Like, there was just this uneasiness to it. Now, again, Broncos country, I get the DMs, I get the Twitter feed, I get the emails. Some of it's the play calling. They went away from the run. No doubt about that. In the first half, Broncos have 89 yards rushing. They're averaging 6.8 yards a carry, right around there. And in the second half, they abandon it. And there's just not an excuse for it a lot of times. Now, again, late in the game, yes, but there was a point where Sean Payton needed to heed the advice on his play sheet to run the football, keep running the football. And he got away from it, and it burned him. But if you look at the stats, in the first half, and I'll go to the game book here to make sure you guys have a better understanding of what happened. The first half, again, the Broncos scored touchdowns on three possessions, three straight possessions. They're up 21-10, then it's 21-13. But you look at first half statistics compared to the final statistics. In that first half, the Broncos were absolutely doing work on the ground. They had 89 yards rushing. They're on pace at that point for 180 yards rushing, which would be, right, you know, season high. It'd be similar to that Browns game last year where they just controlled everything. In the second half, they ended up, so it's 89 yards rushing in the first half. The Broncos finished with rushing 110. So 21 yards rushing in the second half. That's just not enough. It's not enough. They got away from it again. And Bo Nix was effective, but the Chargers pass rush started getting home. Nix finished the night 29 of 40, 263, two touchdowns, two sacks, no picks. One nearly got picked, but they just felt like they started leaning on him too much. And if you take the two sacks and a couple of scrambles there, I mean, he dropped back roughly 45 times. And I've said it, and I'll keep saying it. For this team to win, they need to be more multidimensional. And that magic sweet spot number for me, for Nix, is right around 30, 35 dropbacks. When he gets into that number 40, it's just not a great number for them. It just, you stop eating the clock, you stop controlling the tempo, you stop winning at the line of scrimmage. It just changes the vibe. The Broncos, the second half, they had the 3 points early and then 3 points late to try to then set up an onside kick. But their second half possessions, they just weren't themselves. Everything that was working in the first half suddenly wasn't in the second half. And again, I want to get into it too, that part of this is on Justin Herbert, who just absolutely balled out. But if you look at the second half for the Broncos, their possessions, we go to in the second half, right here, the fourth possession. I want to make sure I got this quarter right. But if you look at their last 7 possessions, punt, punt, field goal, punt, 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 field goal. They started the game with touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Then conversely, you look at the Chargers, their last several possessions, including the Cameron Dicker, the kicker, with no time left, and that free kick to end the half. Field goal, touchdown, touchdown, punt, touchdown. I mean, it just flipped on its head. From that moment, it flipped on its head. Now, was that the reason they lost? It's never really about one play in football. It really isn't. The Broncos committed too many penalties. There was just an absolute BS penalty, I thought, on Justin Cernad that extended a drive that could have been a field goal. That ended up being a touchdown. It looked like Cernad just barely even touched Herbert, but, you know, replay, maybe his elbow hit, and I get it. The league's always going to tilt toward favoring the quarterback. I'm not naive to this, but I thought that was a ticky-tack call, and it cost them 4 points. That 3 points at the end of the half cost. So they, at a point where you're trying to drive and maybe win a game or tie a game, you're just in a different position. You just felt like the Broncos, once they fell behind, they were climbing uphill, and with the Chargers, not only do they go ahead 25-24, like around 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they get this crazy two-point conversion. It looked like the ball might have been deflected by Cernad from Herbert, but Joshua Palmer makes this unbelievable deflection to himself with toe drag swag here behind me in the stadium, and that's 27-24. And again, it just felt like everything that could go wrong for the Broncos in the second half was tilting that way, from a couple of penalties, from, again, the momentum gained from the free kick, the Broncos unable to sustain drives, unable to establish the run consistently in the second half, and it all just kind of added up. And it's a reminder, folks, that, again, this season, if you view it with realistic expectations, they've exceeded them. The over-under number was 5.5 to begin the year. So I picked them to win six. So I'm first one to say they've exceeded expectations. But you reframe those as the year goes on, and if they don't reach the playoffs, it would be disappointing. There's no way around it. When you need to win one game with three to go, now they could get help again. If all three of these teams lose, they could, but nobody wants to back in that way. Nobody. And frankly, winning this game would have given them a real shot to get a sixth seed, because going to Buffalo, if they're the two in January, that's nobody's idea of fun. But the reality is the Broncos have exceeded expectations. They've changed the culture. But what tonight demonstrated is that there's still mile markers to go on this road to redemption, and that nothing comes easily for this franchise since Super Bowl 50. And that's just part of it. I mean, that's just part of it, that I think once they turn that corner, they get to the playoffs, a lot of this stuff we've spent the last 8 years talking about, the 13 quarterbacks, the five head coaches, all the years without the playoffs, a lot of that just kind of melts away, and you're focused more on, is this team, can it make a deep run? Are they going to add a receiver? Are they going to get a tight end in the draft? A lot of this stuff starts to feel differently, but they're right now, they're still in it, folks. They're still in this drama, this vortex of the last 8 years, and they're climbing. They're making their way out, but it's hard. It's why you see certain franchises, the Jets, anyone, when you lose for a long time, it's hard to make the U-turn. And the Broncos have made significant steps this year. Tonight was a night to put their foot down and make a statement that they're out of it. In terms of all that losing history, they're over. I mean, they've had more humps than a camel that they've had to somehow get over. And they got one left, the playoffs. And they can go beat the Bengals. They can. It's just you don't want to get into a shootout with these teams. And we're going to get into that too. They've counted on their defense to win games for them. Tonight, when they needed a couple stops, they couldn't get it. And penalties caught up to them. Let's be honest. The Broncos, for a disciplined team that, you know, prides itself on smart football, they get penalized too much. And some of them are dumb penalties. They're just multiple offsides penalties. You got a couple of hits on Justin Herbert that extended drives. Like some of that, you got to – I mean, there's no way around it. You look at the total penalties here. We're going to look – where is penalties here at the end of this? Penalties for the Broncos, 7 for 61. Chargers had 2 for 8. Again – in a game, enter the game is a 2.5-point line. Chargers favor these kind of one-score games. 7 penalties is about 4 penalties too much. And a couple of those, again, change the game on third down. And we can argue that the Sternad one was BS, and I'm not going to push back hard on that. But the reality is you can't keep making those penalties. And you'll say, Troy, what about the interference on Marvin Mims? I thought that was going to be called. It's almost always called. I think Mims could have sold it better. Bo Nix didn't make a great throw on that play. He underthrew him. It wasn't terrible, but it probably was 3 to 4 yards underthrown. If he hits him in stride, it could be the touchdown that wins the game. And instead, it's a no interference call. And maybe it's a good no call if that's how they – but typically they don't officiate it that way, but they did on this one. And again, that's just – again, shows where the Broncos were. When they needed a stop in the second half, the Broncos couldn't get one defensively, and they had a chance with a drive after the Chargers go up. You're like, okay, everything has been weird and wonky with the free kick, with the Joshua Palmer two-point conversion, with Justin Herbert. Like, we all thought this night was going to be about an Oregon quarterback. It wasn't supposed to be about that Oregon quarterback. Justin Herbert looked like he was in the Rose Bowl with Oregon. He's throwing off balance. He's throwing to his left. He's throwing across his body. He's running. Like, Herbert has been a game manager all year for the Chargers. And then on the national stage, Thursday night, Amazon primetime, Herbert comes out of his shell for Harbaugh, because they have not run the ball particularly well since J.K. Dobbins got hurt. But they finished off running it well. And we look at net yards rushing for the Chargers. They outrushed the Broncos. Now, again, I think 43 of that was on a run by Gus Edwards that helped put the game away. And then Hassan Haskins had a dump down pass. He turned into a 34-yard touchdown. So it was like 70 yards on one drive. That made it 34, and it put the game away. Again, it spoke to a Broncos defense that couldn't get a stop at 27-24. Even if you give up a field goal there, you still have a shot. It's unlikely. But they couldn't get off the field. Nick Bonito's been amazing. He was quiet tonight. Pat Surtain, for the most part, completely quiet. He just had the one pick by Chris Abrams drained, but just never really could turn the corner defensively, especially in the second half. But we go back to that last drive, the big last drive. So around 9 minutes left, Broncos get the ball. They get a first down. Nick's overthrows Mims. They get to the 50-yard line, and they punt it. I don't have an issue with that. It was like 8-plus minutes left, and they just can't get off the field. You know, you're at the 50-yard line with fourth and long, you know, fourth and a distance. Like, you're not really going to go for it there. Like, you literally are giving up a field goal there if you miss, because you're already at, like, the 50-yard line. So now you're making it a touchdown game. I understood that decision. But you couldn't make it matter by getting a stop defensively. And, again, it just shows, folks, the Broncos, they've got some wrinkles to iron out. At times, the lack of talent offensively of just having a playmaker that just, hey, go out and win it for it haunts them. At times, it's Sean Payton, the gravitational pull for him to throw the football, get away from the run. They're running well, and I don't know if it's just the voice inside his head or the devil and the angel that, you know, he loves to pass. And, again, you have Drew Brees, and you have Michael Thomas, you have Alvin Kamara, you have Jimmy Graham. You have Marcus Colston. You getting the picture here? Mark Ingram. They don't have that kind of weapons. Like, so even if Bo's accurate, you're not seeing the yards after catch. Like, 263, it's a big number. 40 of those, that's 40 pass attempts. And a lot of these are behind the line of scrimmage. Now, Bo made some plays, but it's just, again, we're just at times you're pushing it to the ledge, you're pushing the envelope that run the football. I mean, if there's a positive in this, it's that Audric Estime, with Jaleel McLaughlin out, he established himself a little bit. 9 carries, 48 yards. He led the team in rushing. Bo Nix was second with 25. Javonte Williams, 4 for 24. Blake Watson, 4 for 10. And Marvin Mims, 1 for 3. 21 carries, 110 yards. Again, they had 89 in the first half. That's what kills you. You look at the first half statistics, and where they were rushing the football at that point, 13 for 89. So you run the ball 8 times in the second half for 21 yards. And when this team gets one-dimensional, they get vulnerable. And that's what happened. So what I can tell you, Broncos country, is that, you know, you take a deep breath. You can be frustrated. There were so many of you out here. Be proud of yourself, because this game absolutely screwed over and gave the shaft to a lot of fans who wrote into me about, hey, I can't get off work, I can't get out of these hotels, they're non-refundable. And that's a real issue for normal people. People like snicker at that, but the NFL doesn't care. All they care about are their TV partners. And the sooner you know that, the better. At least it eases your conscience. They don't care if they move these games. They care about the TV partners and the TV money. The in-game spectators move zero needle for them other than it looks cool on TV. The money is through the TV contract. They're always going to do what favors it. And Amazon wanted better games. You guys all watched a couple years ago, those first that year. It was terrible. Al Michaels felt like he was asleep, and they're just getting brutal games. Hey, we want to be able to flex. We want better games. And this was a spectacular game, an example of exactly why they want to flex. But it screws fans over. Fans that who's trying to drive up from Orange County that live here or drive up down from Santa Barbara, screws them. And certainly if you were making plans, out of a guy write me from Hawaii who was coming here for his 40th birthday present, he couldn't get off work. You know, around the holidays, you can't just take an extra 2-3 days off. It doesn't work that way for most of us. Where, hey, instead of 2 days off, I need 5 right before Christmas. And their boss kind of looks at you like, no. So I feel for you, fans. I feel for you. It was a great football game. If you watched it objectively in terms of just entertaining, a lot of scoring, you saw Herbert playing out of his mind. You saw the Broncos offense early on with 3 straight touchdowns. I mean, there was a lot to like. Broncos country, the bitter part of it was they mismanaged the clock at the end of the first half. It led to this free kick that we may never see again for 48 years. And it led to a defense in the second half that couldn't get stops when the offense finally – I think the offense looked like they got figured out. They got away from the run. Here we are, on to Cincinnati. Thank you, Bill Belichick. So that's where the Broncos go. Now, remember, that's a Saturday game. where the Broncos are at Cincinnati. It's in the afternoon. I believe it's a 2:30 Denver start. The Bengals haven't been great, but man, Joe Burrow, if you do yourself a favor, if you're already feeling nauseous about this loss, do not look at Joe Burrow's stats or that of Ja'Marr Chase, because in a regular year, Chase could win Offensive Player of the Year and Burrow could be MVP if the Bengals' record didn't stink. So it's a tough one. And then it becomes the Chiefs. And it would be something if it all came down to that, but I can guarantee you the Broncos don't want that. You don't want it all on the line, because just like a Game 7 in hockey, anything can happen. Things get weird. We saw it with the Nuggets last year. You really don't want a playoff berth to come down to that, because essentially then you becomes the last game of the season is a playoff game. So all I can tell you, Broncos country, you're the best. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support. You hang in there. You hang with them. And you just deal with the reality that this is still a team that's learning, that's developing. They've got a rookie quarterback. They lack offensive weapons. Defensively, they're still figuring it out at times. And they're just it just when they don't click, they're vulnerable. When they complement each other, and they run the football, they have a little more balance offensively, and they're getting takeaways, they're a really tough team to beat. But tonight, they get the one takeaway, and they just there's that margin for error starts to disappear. So every mistake, whether it's with the play calling, the clock management, the inability to run the ball, it all, they just aren't good enough to overcome that. And maybe next year they will be with more weapons offensively. Maybe in 2026 we laugh at these games and think, man, how much different they are. For now, we're still going through it, folks. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys going through this journey with me and always listening to the pod and supporting the pod on YouTube, on Apple and Spotify. If you haven't downloaded, please do. Folks, I could not do this pod without Big A behind the screen, my producer. He's the best. Nate Lundy of Mile High Sports. And, of course, our new sponsor, Bet Online. I couldn't do it without those sponsors. Broncos country, even on a night like this, I do this pod for you. Happiness, that begins with me. Go out there and have a great day.